We have not had a lot of success in this town of late. You all know that as sports fans, but the Islanders have turned a lot of heads and gotten people's attention, as have the Nets, by the way, in what's gone on with them. And we'll talk about that at a later time. But the Islanders right now in first place, more than anyone could have expected. And I told you earlier when we opened the show about podcasts in general relating to specific teams. It's a rage everywhere. It is successful everywhere. It's an opportunity for those that are passionate to really share information and passion and analysis, and it's working. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter what the team is, what market it is, it's working everywhere. One of the successful ones in our market is the Aisle Seat Podcast, and my friend Mike Carver, who most of you know through his work here at The Fan on CBS Sports Radio on the other side, is joining us now to talk about it. Mr. Carver, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Morrissey, what's going on, pal?
Hey, I wanted to have you on because it's, you know, it's really something to watch, and especially when it's unexpected, your squad and your organization has made a very quick turn, and to think they did it after losing a very popular player in Tavares.
It's kind of crazy to think, Chris, that over the summer they lost their captain, you know, their best player, their franchise player, and they were kind of the joke of the league for a good 2 or 3 months heading into the season. Everybody said the Islanders are going to be awful this year. They gave up the most goals in the NHL, and they've lost John Tavares. They really didn't add any big pieces. And now we sit here, Chris, not only are they first place in the Metro, but in a one, you know, half a season turnaround with Barry Trotz running the team, they've gone from giving up the most goals in the NHL to now have given up the least goals in the NHL as we sit here on January 19th. It's amazing.
It is crazy. And then you add the turmoil of the buildings and all that that's gone around there about where they should play and the excitement that ran through the Coliseum when they finally made their return there. It is absolutely nuts. And when you talk about it, and you have spent your life in sports, you know, living the dream a little bit like we have when you work in this business and you were lucky enough to get into it at a young age and have been enjoying it all along, you look for culture, right? You look for a change in the way your team goes about doing business, and that change, when it happens within the team, then works its way to the fans and the media and everyone else who respect what you're doing. But it has to happen behind closed doors first. And you know, you talked about the laughing stock and the people doubting. One thing they didn't doubt was Lou Lamoriello coming in and Barry Trotz coming in. That gave them, inside the team anyway, regardless of what other people thought, a real chance to build something, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you look at it, this team right now on the ice, it's about, you know, 80 to 90% of the same exact players that were on the team last year. Aside from a couple of third and fourth line guys that they signed and Robin Lehner in goal, you know, you're talking about the same team and minus John Tavares. So to see those two guys walk in the room and say, all right, here's all the hardware. We've won all these Stanley Cups, whether it's Lou, but more specifically to me, Chris, it's Barry. Because when Barry comes in fresh off of winning with the Capitals, he really gets in the player's ear. I think Lou changed a lot of things behind the scenes, but Barry comes in the room and he lays out his system. He says the word structure, Chris, just about every single night. And now as we've gone in 3 or 4 months into the season, I feel like the guys have really got a total control of it now, of how he wants them to play. And it shows night in, night out.
And it seems like they're rolling over their personnel, which you have to do in hockey. You know, you really do. I mean, one of the things that hockey backers like about the game is that it is a team game. There is nobody sitting on the bench the whole game doing nothing. You know, there's no 9, 10, 11 players like there is in basketball that sit at the end of the bench but really never take their sweats off. This is a different game, and these games are often one-goal games, and your shift matters. And the thing about Lou has always been good about getting depth, and Barry obviously gets the most out of his players. So one thing Islander fans have to be happy about, I think, is that the third and fourth lines are contributing, especially defensively. I mean, they're doing all the things right. The feeling inside the locker room's got to be pretty good.
It definitely is, and they've gotten contributions up and down the lineup. They've got 10-plus guys have scored, you know, 10-plus goals already. They've got two goalies that are rotating in and out. Thomas Greiss kind of carried the mail for the first 2 months of the season. Robin Lehner has then picked it up after that. And if you even look at it, Leonard's kind of been the hot guy lately, Chris, especially in this 14 out of 17 streak that they're in right now. But the two biggest games that they've won in the last week, which was Tampa last Sunday at the Barclays Center and last night in D.C., Thomas Greiss was in goal. So Leonard's been awesome, but Greiss steps in and wins two huge games for them. So they've, and up and down, you talk about the depth with adding guys. And Lou didn't add too much over the summer. He didn't have a lot of room to add, but he added two veteran players in Leo Komarov and Val Filppula, who have come in and not only helped them on the ice, helped with the penalty kill, but they've also helped the young guys in the room. These guys have raved about these veterans coming in and really helping them out.
Yeah, Filppula with a big goal the other night. And as you look at this, Mike, we're talking to Mike Carver, Isle Seat Podcast, on the Islanders, who are in first place in the Metro Division right now. What has surprised you most? I mean, obviously Barzal is a player that, you know, that I'm not. I mean, till this year, I wasn't, you know, paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to anybody in the Islanders, really. I mean, it just, you know, they kind of played over there, and like the Nets and like a lot of our teams lately, they just kind of, you know, play and they win or lose and life goes on. They've changed that over there. And the leading scorer, I mean, 44 points, 13 and 31, 44 points in 47 games in today's NHL is pretty damn good work. So tell us about what's got you most excited about this team.
Well, Barzal is absolutely the reason to be excited. And the thing that I was most looking at, Chris, coming into this year was, how would this kid who won the Calder Trophy last year, he was the best rookie in the NHL, how would he adjust to having to be the guy on this team? John Tavares obviously had the load last year. He's the guy that other teams are going to circle and say, we need to stop him. So now with him gone, Matthew Barzal became the guy that the other team wants to shut down. So he got off to a little bit of a slow start. It took him some time. He started playing the way that Barry Trotz wants him to play. And really, Chris, in this 14 out of 17 stretch, he has turned it on. He had the hat trick in Toronto a couple weeks ago when they beat the Maple Leafs. He's been scoring a couple goals left and right here. He's always a good playmaker. He's been great to see. Brock Nelson, who's been on the team for a while, has stepped his game up for me personally. I've always kind of been a, you know, negative on Brock. But once Barry came in, he started playing Barry's system. He's even turned around and become a player that I've been pleasantly surprised with. And the defense that we talked about earlier, giving up all those goals last year, and all of a sudden, now nobody can score on him. The defense and the goaltending, it's those have been major surprises for me.
How much fun is it for you in this podcast? Because you're doing it, you know, you're doing it win or lose. I mean, you're
right.
committed to it, and you know, you're reaping the enjoyment now, but you also deal with the pain and the complaints and all the negativity that comes with losing in pro sports. So how much fun has it been for you to enjoy this 47-game ride?
It's honestly, Chris, been a little bit different this year because we've done the podcast. I did it with a partner before this year. And
the great Brian Compton.
Brian Compton of NHL.com. And me and him did it together for a few years. And I kind of was used to, you know, there was always something to either yell about or complain about or to be negative about because the team just wasn't getting it done, whether it be on the ice or with the front office. And this year's been kind of weird. I've had to readjust a little bit. There's not really anything to complain about right now because when you're playing so well and you have guys with all this Stanley Cup experience and Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello who come in the door and are running the team now, what are you going to complain about when you're in first place, Chris, at the end of January? It's tough. So I've had to rearrange, you know, my, you know, how I do it a little bit because I used to be a little fiery and yelling, but I've it's too positive right now.
Yeah. Oh, what a problem to have.
Yeah.
In terms of the sustainability of this as a contender, and the NHL offers you that. I was mentioning it earlier how the NBA, it's nice and all, but in the end we know basically who the teams will be. That is never the case in the NHL, and certainly not the case this year. We know which teams we like. We know Tampa's good. We know Washington's good. We know Pittsburgh probably could bounce back a little bit and play better. But the point is, we know that there are certain teams that are going to be reckoned with in the end, Toronto, etc. But the bottom line is, these teams that are battling, like the Islanders, when they get on a roll, it's not a false belief inside the room that they can win. They know if they continue to get good goaltending, you know, to bring it on. Whoever we're playing next, let's go. And that's the attitude, you know, that can take you a long way in the NHL, it seems to me.
Yeah, and I think, Chris, that the Islander fan has been a little bit hesitant for a good portion of the season because, you know, you've had good stretches, you've seen good starts, and you never really know if you should completely buy in. And I think it's taken a little while this year, but if you haven't bought in what's gone on in the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, I think that the three games that they've won in the last month that tell you that you can absolutely start believing and start knowing that this team can be a factor when it comes to the playoffs is the win in Toronto, the win over Tampa this week, and last night in D.C. All three of those games, Chris, were on back ends of a back-to-back. They're 7-0 in that situation this year, by the way. 7-0 in back-to-backs on the back end, which is bananas to think about.
It is bananas, yeah.
But in today's NHL, it's with the travel, it's really crazy. But I think that they have now cemented. They're not just going to be a team, I think, fighting for a playoff spot anymore. I think that the expectation goes up a little bit with how they've played. They're a team now, Chris, that has to start thinking, we can win this division. We can get home ice in the first round. That is where they have to look because the sample size is too big now, Chris. They've shown that they can do it.
The other important factor in their favor is that they've got 15 road wins and 13 home wins. So this is not a team that is relying on being at home or, you know, oh, the emotion of the Coliseum has really helped them a lot. Obviously, it hasn't hurt them, and it's fun, and it's a great atmosphere, and it gets a little buzz around the team, the return to the Coliseum. But the bottom line is they'll play anywhere. They're not intimidated, and Trotz doesn't mess around.
They have been really good on the road this year. Like you said, 15 wins. Their game, the style that they play, it carries anywhere. Home, road, it doesn't matter. Now, the home thing, you're right. It's been a little tricky. There's no doubt about that. Now, they have a lot of games left at Nassau Coliseum. They only started playing there on December 1st. They only have, I think it's 3 or 4 games left at the Barclays Center for the rest of the year. February 16th is the last time they play at Barclays Center for now. And then the rest of February, the entire month of March, a lot of games in Nassau where the building's been loud. It's been crazy for the handful they've had there so far. So they're not only going to be playing the way they are going down the stretch, but they're going to have maybe a little extra push having that Nassau crowd behind them for a lot of games in the month of March.
I don't think too many people are unaware of the Aisle Seat Podcast, but how can we get it?
You can get the Aisle Seat Podcast. Go to the homepage, aisleseat.com. Anywhere you get the podcast, Chris, iTunes, Google Play, all those places you can find it.
Carvey, have a great night, all right, brother? We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Morrissey. Talk to you soon.
There you go, Michael Carver, Aisle Seat Podcast on the most successful team in town. A team in first place. How about that? How about that? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.